Again, scriptures tonight are Zechariah 13, verse 9, Acts 2, verse 21, and Romans 10, verses 13 to 15, and out of the New King James Version. So Zechariah 13, 19, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. And Acts 22, 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then finally, Romans 10, verse 13 to 15. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is the word of the Lord.
So, tonight we'll be meditating on calling to God, right? And as you heard the verses that we read there in Zechariah, in Acts, and in Romans as well. Through the Bible, God invites people to call on His name, as we saw in those texts. And why? Because God wants to restore our relationship with Him. Without Him, we are broken people, right? And we are destined to miss heaven, you know, if we continue in that path. So, as we saw there, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, the whoever word there means that every man and woman from everywhere, every nation, every color, yellow, black, white, the rich or the poor. It means everyone of every sort, or and those who are of no sort at all, or of all sorts put together. Whoever includes me, and I'm sure that includes you as well, and includes all those maybe who are here today in this place, who are quite unknown where they live or where you live, who are a stranger or a foreigner. So, whoever you are, wherever you may be, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If that man or that lady that it's fighting for their lives in a bed, you know, in a hostel, if they call upon the name of the Lord, what will happen? They will be saved. They shall be saved. And there's another word in that verse. That's a sure word. So, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no with, there's no maybe, but a glorious shall. Our shalls and wills are poor. They're small things. But God's shall is firm, solid, and eternal. Oh, that we could see people tonight calling upon His name everywhere, anywhere today, and find immediate salvation, eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. So, in these three or four verses there in Romans, Paul emphasizes four needs. So, let's go and quickly take a look on them there. The first one is the need to believe. There's no calling on the name of the Lord without believing. People will not call to the one they do not believe. Since we must call, and it's only by prayer that we call on our salvation, and there's no praying without believing, so may the Lord Jesus Christ help us to believe. For how shall we pray unless we believe, we do believe in Him? You must have a little faith that Jesus Christ will save you. for you to call on his name? Would you have expressed the desire for salvation and have come to Christ in prayer? Sorry, would you have expressed the desire for salvation and have come to Christ in prayer unless there was a tiny mustard seed-sized faith in your heart? Probably not. Remember, we don't quantify faith, but we qualify it. A man of strong faith is blessed and happier, but he is not more truly saved than a man of a weak faith. If he has any trace of faith at all, if yours is only a feeble faith, you hear from the Lord like that bleeding woman in the gospel did. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So if you say, Lord Jesus, save me, if this is a real prayer, and if it comes from your heart, and if there is any sign, a little shade, you know, a tint of faith within you, you will be saved. That little faith will get you to heaven. The second need that we have in this text is the need to hear. So there is no believing without hearing. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So more than anything else, this question is at the heart of all missiological activity since the first century. God has mandated that people have to hear the word of God in order to respond to it to be saved. So, I have a question for you. Okay, I'm waiting on your answer. Could you please answer me now? You go, what is your question? Right? So, simple as that. How can we answer the question if we have not heard it? So how people will answer the gospel if they don't hear about it? Do you get my point there? So if you're hearing this message today, please pay attention. It's really important that you understand it fully. I would have no problem to get all my hearers' attention for about 10 minutes. Okay, if perhaps I was telling people how could make a fortune in about 10 minutes, right? So they would listen, take the front seats. You know, even the Baptists would take the front seats here. Their pencils would go to work to write down every step of the instructions, right? So please hear the same way, for this word offers you more, way more than any fortune that this world can give you. By hearing the gospel message, you will be able to make the choice to believe. You still make your choice. God doesn't force you to make the choice to believe in him. As we have many Christians here, if you have to answer the question, what do you believe? I hope your answer would be more solid than a man who answered, I believe what the church believes. Well, what does the church believe? The church believes what I believe. Okay, then tell me what you and the church believe. Well, we both believe the same thing. So, you can see that this would go nowhere. Because there is no belief in it at all. There's no faith. So, our third need is the need for a preacher. There's no hearing without a preacher. And how shall they hear without someone to preach the word to them? Someone must take the truth known to men, to all men. They will not find out about the Savior unless they are told of him. Don't get me wrong, okay? God is God, and He can share the gospel message in the most jaw-dropping ways. When you go, really? Did God just do that? Did that? Yes. So, because He is God, He can do whatever He wants, but He chooses to invite you and me to participate in the process. How wonderful is that? Does God need you and me? No, but He allows us, by His grace, He allows us to participate in that process. So we go, we serve Him, and He will faithfully bless us by our obedience. People cannot learn about Christ without being taught. In general, no man will know the gospel unless somebody shared it with him, by word of mouth, or by sharing your testimony, or by the gift of a book or a tract, or by the open preaching of the Word of God. Somebody must make it known to man. As I already said that. For how can he believe in Him of whom he has not heard? And how can he hear without a preacher? Who ought to preach then? That's the next question. Everyone. Uh-oh. Now you guys are in trouble. So, it's mine. It's yours. Every Christian's responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You may say, I am not gifted to preach. Let me put something to you right there. If a man can speak about the weather condition, sports, economy, recipe, barbecue, food, government, and other subjects, he can speak about the salvation subject as well. So be encouraged to do that. Everyone who knows the gospel have the responsibility to make it known to someone. Peter advises us in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Don't you agree that people need the Lord? As a co-vocational minister, I do some IT work on a part-time basis. And I love that because the IT work opens doors, so I have a chance to share the gospel with people. Every time I walk into someone's house or office, I look for some opportunities, some ways that I can start a conversation and somehow bring it to talk about Jesus Christ. Through my ministry with IT, God gave me the opportunity to pray with people in their home. You know, they asked me to pray and intercede for friends as well. So, and I had the chance to share the gospel with two men who surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. One of them said, Paulo, I don't want to talk with a preacher. I don't want to talk with a pastor. But as I respect you as a businessman, I'm willing to sit down and talk with you. So I had the opportunity to sit with him and share the gospel message. So it was a great opportunity, and it is great, so we can do that. So look for your opportunities, right? Use your personal gifts to start a conversation with someone to make the gospel known to him. And remember that you have some help to do that, right? It's the Holy Spirit of God that's present in you. He will guide you, and you will be surprised what He can do using your life. So, you may say, why should I go and share the gospel? Because I thought that was the work for priests and preachers and pastors, right? So, I agree with you. Totally agree with you. Okay? But the word that I have for you, we are all priests. Right? No? So let's see what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How amazing is that? So it's our duty, by the grace of God, to exercise that blessed priestly office of telling the children of men the way in which they may be saved. Moreover, to do this work for God, you don't need a high degree of education. Oh no! Some of us here today, including me, would have been lost if we could not have been saved without hearing a great preacher. Is that your case? So in my case, some very humble Christians, decided to give their time for a VBS, a vacation Bible school, you know, for young kids. And I was, 6 or 7 years old by that time. And they invested in my life. They took their time and they invested and they share God's word with me. It wasn't a great preacher or the best preacher in the world, you know. It was those simple people, simple servants of God, who invested on me and so many other kids. And we continue to see that going on in our midst today. So, remember, it does not require a college training to enable you to talk about Christ. You don't even need to go to the seminary to share His word. So go on, my brothers and sisters, telling others about the gift you received from God, even if you have very few gifts. The other point is, share your personal story. And when I say your personal story, I'm referring to Christ's story in your life, right? So, because nobody can refute it, nobody can deny it, because it's your story, it's your truth, you know, it's the truth of your story that God gave you. So, your story may include something like, I was dead, but Christ brought me back to life. I was lost, but Christ found me. I was desperate, but Christ gave me peace and comfort. I was a sinner, but Christ redeemed and forgave me. I was blind, but now I can see the salvation that Jesus Christ gave me on that rugged cross. When we understand sin, what it has done and what it can do, we cannot be quiet and still. We must live with the urgency to get people to know Christ. Another question for you. What will happen with the most good person you know if they do not submit their life to Christ? Our mission field is right here, right by our door, the next door neighbor, the business owner, the waiter at the restaurant, the cashier at the grocery store. And you can do very simple things, as I've seen Pastor DK, you know, before a meal, he would ask a waitress or a waiter there, hey, we're going to pray in a minute, do you have anything that we can pray for you? That right there, it's seeding the gospel message. Very simple way, because you have no idea, you don't know how that person will answer to you and how that will impact their lives. Today, I wish that I could stir up your passion to share the best gift that someone can receive in their lives. Speak to someone about the wondrous story of the cross. The sad news is that people all around us, even the most wonderful, the most good person that I mentioned before, are perishing without hearing the gospel of salvation. The fourth need that Paul's mentioned here is the need to send people. There is no effective preaching without being sent. And then you go, aha, we have you in the corner now, right? So we must not go and preach if you're not sent. Well, if you're not sent, I agree with you. I would say do not go. But we're good with that. I'm good. But let's take a closer look, a deeper look on that, okay? So, who have said you have not been sent? Who told you that? That you have not been sent? Those who are sent, first of all, they have a message given to them, right? Because they need to go in order to share a message that they have. So, if you have been granted your salvation to Jesus Christ, you have a message given to you, right? Or am I wrong? So, do you agree that if you're saving Jesus Christ, you have a message to give to someone? Correct? Good. Perfect. So, and the second thing is that Jesus Christ has sent you. When we go in Matthew 28, and you probably all know these verses there, 18th and 19th, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus Christ said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Isn't that a mandate that includes every Christian, every believer? Yes or no? Good. So, you agree with me that we are all called, right? Perfect. So, get your message. Be determined to know nothing among men but what the Lord Himself has revealed to you in His Word by the teaching of His Holy Spirit. Get it well into you. Say it to yourself, meaning practice it. You can do that. You can tell your story to yourself out loud. So, you just be practicing, right? Say to yourself, what I'm going to speak is nothing of my own. Otherwise, it would fall flat and powerless. But you should go with, thus says the Lord. This is God's message for you. It's not my message. Share it under His authority and be prepared to experience what the Holy Spirit will do through you. I wish it would be our habit to be always looking out for lost souls. Because again, they are everywhere. Jesus said as well, it's better to give than to receive. And it's even better when we share the life that the gospel message brings to Jesus Christ. A life that's eternal, that will not corrode, that will never end. A gift that nobody else can give them other than Jesus Christ. And we are the ones invited by God to participate in that task. I need to urge you, though. Be careful. If you have been satisfied to be a churchgoer, someone who just enjoys the message, oh, those are nice words, Pastor, thank you. Who loves fellowship with others, but have been doing nothing for Christ. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in the late 1900s, 19th century there, had something to say about that. And it's really heavy. But I'm not here to tell you good things for your ears. He said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved?" So, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. How serious is that? Please remember how much Jesus Christ has done for you and start doing something for Him. Sometimes we think that we are responsible for people's answers to Christ's message. No, that's not our responsibility. That responsibility belongs to the Holy Spirit. Yours is to share and make Christ known. And as the text in verse 15 of Romans there 10 ends with this: "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." What a privilege. What a blessing for you and me. So we are all in the business of saving lives. Isn't that a great business to be part of? Amen. So, people need the Lord. People out there are always looking for an explanation for where we came from, who created us, where we are going after the life in this world ends. Their worldview. You know, a worldview is a picture, a view of the universe, and the humanity place and role on that view. You know, if we talk about it in a simple way, it's the most important issue in any person's lives. So yeah, it's not their education, career, or friendships that are the most important. No, it's their worldview which guides and directs everything else, including their education, career, finances, family, and friendships. Moreover, where they are, where they are going, and how they will get there. It drives their personality and culture. It may involve some religious belief where they will somehow get some kind of reward. Does that ring a bell for you? Does that make sense? What people in this world that don't have Jesus Christ are looking for? So, Christianity gives us a complete worldview and philosophy for our lives. Our Christian worldview starts with God as our Creator. It deals with sin and its consequences. It shows God's love in working to restore the sinful, broken humanity. It speaks to everything that we are concerned about as humans. It has teachings and insights about those concerns we have and how to deal with them. It has a profound implication for areas of life as diverse as politics, economics, business, marriage, family, music, science, education, and the list goes on with knowledge, justice, and so. In all these areas, we as Christians respond by having Christ at the center of them all. Amen? Because He is the one who leads and guides our lives. Furthermore, we live with the assurance that this life is not the end. And I love a song, a song from a Christian band called Big Dead Weave. Don't ask me how did they come out with that name. I have no idea. But here's what they say: "I can live for the day when my eyes will finally see every piece that was broken, restored, and redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven changes everything. In the light of eternity, I have this hope. You hold my heart and I'm never alone. One day you're coming back. One day I'm coming home. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven changes everything. The way that I love, the way that I live, the way that I let go and choose to forgive, the peace in this pain, the hope in this grief, the beauty beyond this, I have to believe. I can see what you see, Lord, but I know that I know. This world's where I am, but this world is not my home. Amen? What a beautiful message there. Let's wrap up here. So God provides salvation in Christ Jesus. He sends the preacher to share the word, you and me. Men hear it. They answer the call. They believe and they receive salvation. You don't have to do justice. You have to accept the one that was made for you. That's in Jesus Christ. It's not what you do that will save you. It's what it is what Christ did. You must get out of self-confidence and start trusting Him. As soon as you do this and call upon His name, you will be saved. And if you have not yet called on the name of the Lord, He is calling you today. This message is also for you. And if you hear it, whatever you are, whatever you may be hearing this message tomorrow, maybe, Christ is giving you an opportunity to be forgiven, to be restored, to be made a new creature in Him. Please, before you leave this place today, offer yourself to Christ. Surrender your life to Him. Ask for His forgiveness. Repent and believe and ask Him to save you. Christ has paid the price to restore your life. God loves you so much. He wants to give you hope for your future with an amazing peace and assurance that you will be in His presence for eternity. Don't miss that. These words that I have shared with you today will all be in vain unless the Holy Spirit apply the truth of God's word to you and you believe it. So, do not wait for somebody to believe for you. That's not possible. Nobody can do that for you. Trust Christ for yourself. This is your chance to answer Jesus' call and believe in Him now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Father, that challenges us to live our lives for you. Father God, this is not a word to offend anyone. Father, only those who hate you would be offended with this kind of word that you gave us tonight. Father God, we pray that this word will go long ways. Father, that your Spirit will be moving your people, Lord, to share your love with others. Father God, I pray your blessings over Cowboy Trail Church, a church that was born in your heart, Lord. We praise your name for this church, this place. We praise your name, Lord, for the lives that are consecrated in this place to worship you and praise you. And Father, I pray that you be using, Lord, Cowboy Trail Church to impact lives here in Cochrane, Father, with the word of Jesus Christ. We praise your name and thank you. Amen.